Yay. Buccaneers fans, he's back! It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast. The Sage is back from his bye week getaway, tropical getaway, and we're here presented by Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. Ira's here. He is the Baron of Big Storm Beer, the King of Newport Richie. He's got all kinds of other nicknames. Ira, we're fired up to be here with you. I've got a story to tell you, and everybody can't wait to hear just a little nugget about your trip, Ira. Safe and sound, you've returned. And I also have to let everybody know that you will be at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater Sunday watching the Bucks and the Washington, whatever they call themselves, football team, WTF, at Big Storm Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Kickoff 1 o'clock. Sage rolls in a little bit early. And everybody gets a beer, gets a Bromosa, a wave maker, hangs out. Beautiful covered patio, games on, Wi-Fi, indoors if you want it, great food. Ira, you're back from your tropical getaway, the big 40th anniversary getaway that you kept a little bit secret from your listeners because you didn't want anybody messing with your grass in Newport Richie. But give us a little nugget about the trip. How are you, buddy?
Stevie, I'm refreshed. I'm tanned to beat the band. It was fantastic. What a way to celebrate a 40th anniversary. That's a big one, Steve. You'll get there, baby. You'll get there. But it's a big one. My only regret is I never saw a Brady jersey. I didn't see any Buccaneer hats on the island of St. Thomas. First time in St. Thomas. Flew from Miami. What an airport Miami is, Steve. What a disaster. But we survived, Stevie. We survived. Had to get a COVID test before we could even get on the plane in Miami. I got a story about that. I'll tell that on a future podcast. It's hilarious. But, Steve, I'm raring to go. Can't wait to get out to Big Storm Sunday afternoon. I think my darling wife might accompany me, Steve. And she was all ready until I told her it might be 64 degrees as a high. That turned her off a little bit. But you know what, Steve? You throw on a little sweatshirt, and you go out there, beautiful covered patio. Looking forward to seeing my Buck fans out there on Sunday, Steve. I'm back, baby.
Absolutely, and now that means you guys would cruise down there in your cherry red 2020 Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan's ready for you, the Joe Bucks fan draft guru, the host of Best in Class podcast. He's ready to help you any way he can, GM of Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Yeah, you know, and sometimes, Ira, this time of year, they have the outdoor heaters at Big Storm on the covered patio. So you know how those things go. They plug them in, and you get a little bit of extra warmth coming in if anybody's concerned about that. And, of course, you could always sit inside, as we did so many times last year on a couple of the colder days, Ira. So, look, bye week is here. Tom Brady, you know, he's got nothing to say today. Nothing. Byron Leftwich, nothing interesting to say. They've got a crappy Washington team coming up, a team that's falling apart. You have any general bye week thoughts? Just, you know, we read your grades in your column. Anybody can see that at JoeBucksFan.com. But just any kind of bye week thought for this obviously very veteran team that's coming off a Super Bowl.
I'm a little disconcerted, Steve, a little bit in terms of Gronkowski. And now Godwin, I'm more interested in Godwin. You know, when you got Evans and Godwin, you're in business where the Gronk plays or not. I know they picked up Perryman, but I thought Gronkowski would be ready to go. And as you astutely pointed out, he's not 27 anymore. A lot of wear and tear on that body, and Steve, you don't recover as quickly as you once did. But Steve, overall, Brady is healthy. That makes up for an awful lot, Steve. An awful lot. The running backs are healthy. The offensive line is healthy. And, Steve, I don't think we've mentioned it enough. We got to throw it out there again. This is the number one scoring offense in the National Football League. Steve, you did some great research the other day about teams that score 29. This team doesn't score 29. They score 32 and a half. Steve, this is one hell of an offense. With or without Rob Gronkowski, and Washington doesn't play any defense, this looks good for the Bucs on Sunday.
Well, Sage, I must confess that research you're talking about, ever since Arians was hired, I wrote that story back in 2019. I did the research, and I just update my cut and paste job on there so it looks fancy. But I appreciate it, Ira. Now let's get to Lee.
Well, guys, I'm probably going to shock you when I say this. You guys know I'm a big believer in leaning on your strength, and the Bucs' strength is the pass. This week, that's not going to be the strength. The strength's going to be the run. And the Bucs have one of the best offensive lines in the game. I'm expecting them to ground and pound.
The continuity up front. Now, look, some areas have been hit hard. You know, the secondary's been hit hard. But, Steve, the offensive line, I mean, they're living a charmed life. It does not happen in the National Football League. They've played 8 games and suffered, little or no injury up front, which, Steve, that continuity has really, really contributed to this unit doing yeoman work, not pass blocking, run blocking. It's really become a team strength, Steve.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point that Lee makes, and I would almost counter it in some ways, and I don't disagree, but I think in some ways what the Bucs have right now at receiver is very comparable to what other teams have, and they still pass the ball. So they've got an elite number one, and Tyler Johnson, if Chris Godwin doesn't play, Tyler Johnson will be number two, and he might be pretty good as a number two. You know, he's certainly not, would be the worst number two receiver in the league. And they do have tight ends who can catch, even without Gronk. And I think this will be Jalen Darden's opportunity to show if he can be legit or really take the top off of defense in any way. And, you know, whatever packages they've had for him tucked away might come out this weekend. But I don't know. I still think they might go to that strength until Washington slows it down.
Lee, I think you'd agree with me, though. If Godwin doesn't play, and I don't know, this thing came out of nowhere. I didn't hear anything about Godwin coming out of the Saints game, and he's had an extra week. If Godwin doesn't play, that's a big loss, Lee.
It's a big loss, but I don't know if it's fatal, because Tyler Johnson can block, and Godwin is a slot receiver for the most part in the Bucs offense, and that slot receiver position is a blocking wide receiver. Fortunately for the Bucs, Godwin's a hell of a receiver. But he's a very good blocker. And Tyler Johnson, the Bucs just rave about his blocking. I'm a huge Godwin fan. Please don't get me wrong. I love Chris Godwin. I hope he signs the Bucs long term. Yeah, they take a dip, but it's not fatal. I guess a good thing, and Steve wrote about this on JoeBucsFan.com, Washington's pass defense is woeful. It's
terrible.
Yeah, so maybe they can get away with throwing the ball to Johnson, to Darden, et cetera. Darden, this is a chance to, show that you could play in the NFL. So maybe they might still try that with that soft pass defense of the Redskins. I just have a hunch, though, with the victories. Every victory is so important, and they're coming off a loss that they should have won 2 weeks ago. I don't know if they're going to treat this like a preseason game and see if they can get away with passing up with a bunch of guys largely untested.
It'll be interesting to watch that. And I think probably the better way for what I said, I could have boiled it down to saying, hey, I don't think anybody would be surprised if Tyler Johnson has 6 catches for 75 yards, which is sort of a number two receiver kind of day. But it is an opportunity for them to pound the football, especially with Montez Sweat out, Ira, off the left edge there. And that's a big loss for them. He's got a broken jaw. And, Chase Young's still running around talking crap, but he's got a sack and a half.
He's had a terrible year. And guys, without beating my chest here, which I've been known to do.
Keep your shirt on.
You can chime in. I'll keep my shirt on. Lee, you're going to chime in on this one because you're not going to like it. But at the halfway mark, gentlemen, I said Giovanni Bernard was going to catch about 40 balls, score maybe 5 touchdowns. That's exactly what he's doing, gentlemen. I believe, and I didn't even know, Steve, till I looked at it, that he's caught 20 of 23 passes, because I remember him dropping a couple early. 20 out of 23, that's kind of remarkable. 3 receiving touchdowns. Lee, even you got to say, he's been a contributor.
Yeah, but you know me, I just heard something just this week where Leonard Fournette was talking about the Super Bowl run, and he went to Arians. He said, but the ball, give your playmakers the ball. And that's in my DNA. I can't get away from it. Just like I have red hair,
I believe in getting the ball to your playmakers, not your backups.
Ira, unbelievable as it is, the last Buccaneer, and I have to bring it up because I know how much the deep love that you had for this man, the last Buccaneer running back to have any kind of threat in the passing game that was a touchdown threat was your boy Charles Sims. And
don't bring that name up in front of Lee DeKemper. That's dangerous. That's dangerous.
He had four touchdown catches with Lovie Smith back in that 2015 season, and nobody's even had four before that or after that.
Not even work done?
No, Cadillac Williams had three in 2009, and Michael Pittman had three in 2004, and I went a little bit farther back, but nobody had that. So maybe Warwick Dunn,
wow.
Maybe in the 90s, Warwick Dunn. That's almost how rare.
What about all stuff, Steve?
Not there, Ira.
Oh, man.
That is surprising, and I never thought of Pittman as a receiving back either.
Well, we'll talk more about the Washington game in another podcast, but, you know, coming off a bye week, this is a pretty darn good setup for the Buccaneers, Steve.
A bizarre stat, and again, it shows how much sometimes we romanticize the history of a team, and that team and those guys and whatever. Mike Allstott, 13 career touchdown receptions.
Wow.
Three in his first year, three in his second year, and basically seven touchdowns in like 8 years after that.
Touchdowns, but not receiving touchdowns. That's right.
Warwick Dunn had three touchdowns, two separate years for the Bucs. Never more than three.
There you go. So, yeah, it is that rare, and Bernard's got three through eight games. And you know what? When you have that bit of a threat, especially in the colder weather games, it's a valuable piece. Now, I'm not going to say some big impact, Ira, that they couldn't be 6-2 without him. I'm not going that far, baby, but...
It is
nice to have. So Ira was, you know, on his secret vacation, and I'm not going to drop the name because I don't want to ruin the relationship that I built with this guy over the last 12 hours or so, and it's just so beyond belief. But so Ira didn't do his SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio appearance yesterday because he was in the tropics, as you know. So Ira told me that, you know, the producer of the show, he's like, Ira, the outpouring of people fearful and wondering where you were and missing you was incredible. Peter King misses a week. Nobody cares. But Ira Kaufman misses a week and the world collapses. And I get an email this morning, very early this morning, like 5 a.m., from a guy and its subject is Ira's Mad Dog Radio appearance. And it's this well-written email of genuine concern, and it's from a major Fox News personality.
Whoa!
So I'm like, maybe this is a joke, you know, because it was a personal email. It wasn't from foxnews.com. And so I wrote back to the guy, and he wrote back, and blah, blah, blah. We went back and forth. Bottom line, it's legitimate. The guy was literally concerned that, oh, maybe Ira got sick, and there's health issues, and Mad Dog didn't say anything, and I was looking for him on Joe Bucks Fan. I didn't hear the podcast this week. So, Ira, I'll tell you the name off the air, but unbelievable. The sage goes to the beach and people freak out.
I can't believe Troy Aikman would write that thing. That's unbelievable. Like, I don't know how Troy Aikman knew about
it. Hey, Ira, well, I'm thinking about it. You're going to like this then. You know, we're talking a little bit about the Redskins and the Bucks are playing at home. Now, the Redskins don't have much of a home field advantage anymore. I mean, Daniel Snyder has just about turned that football town into a hockey town. And knowing how big of a football town that used to be, that's hard to believe. But he's done. And I see these idiots talking about the NFL needs to take over the Raiders. No, they need to take over Washington. What are you talking about? At any rate, here's a story I heard. It's about playing on the road. Michael Lombardi was talking about this. He made some appearance on Viz. And he said when he was working with Bill Walsh, he said, because I don't know how many people know this, but the 49ers under Bill Walsh had a better road record than a home record. I didn't know that. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So anyway, he said he went up to Walsh one day and he said, Coach, how is it that you have a better road record? And Lombardi always thought, well, you do that because you have a good defense. So he told Walsh, he said, is your defense just playing that well on the road? And Walsh turned to him and he shook his head no. And goes, it's not defense, it's offense. You win road games with offense. And Lombardi was confused. You know, he took a step back and said, what? Because that was against everything he ever heard. He goes, what do you mean, coach? And he said, first downs shut up the crowd.
Nice.
And that makes all the sense in the world. I never thought of that before, but that's a great line. First downs shut up the crowd.
You know, Steve, as you mentioned, while I was vacationing on a beach in St. Thomas, the Bucks had one hell of a weekend. All the powers fell, whether it was Dallas, Buffalo, the Rams. I mean, Steve, it was like a script that Jason Light could have written. And the Saints, Steve, they could have tied the Bucks at 6-2 and held the tiebreaker edge. And instead, you know, they fall inexplicably. Things might be bouncing the way a little bit, Steve, but they got to go out Sunday and kick a little ass.
Absolutely, Ira. Yeah, it all pretty much broke their way. If you want to just, you know, in grand total, you couldn't have asked for much better. You would have been awfully greedy looking for four out of four, but they got three out of four. And it's no surprise. This is why I was sitting there saying, this is just football. 13-4 is probably going to get the number one seed this year. That's what the numbers show every year. Teams, even Tom Brady teams. Tom Brady didn't go 14-2 every year in New England. He had plenty of years at 12-4, 13-3, whatever. So the Bucs have to take advantage with the really soft schedule they got. Sage, when you want to kick ass after you have damage in your home, like fire damage or mold or wind damage or flooding, whatever it might be, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, 24/7. They're going to respond. They're going to give you a free, honest assessment in your home. And what more could you ask for? A trusted local company, family owned, not too big, but not too small, where they can't service the whole Tampa Bay area with their great crew. Josh Martin, 14 years experience in the insurance industry as an adjuster. So he knows the games and the tricks. Now he's on the other side helping people who have had disasters. He's also helping companies like plumbers, air conditioning contractors, property managers, helping them in their time of need when they need disaster services. So Josh is available, not 24/7, but just about. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. You can reach out to him there. If you're a business that's looking to affiliate with a good, honest restoration firm, which is not the most easy to find, or if you got a homeowner issue, give them a call 24/7. They love to hear from anybody who needs some help, needs some guidance. Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. About that, Ira, before I get to the schedule thing that I think is important, Rob Gronkowski, you know, Arians was on Sirius last night, and all of a sudden he explains that Gronk has the exact same back injury that he had in the past, but somehow the ribs caused it. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it doesn't sound good given that Gronkowski left the game in part because of this back injury.
No question about it, Steve, and it kind of connects with what he said last week, which is that they're all connected. Steve, talking about the ribs and the back. They all emanate from one general problem. And that is a problem, Lee, because, I mean, Gronkowski was a beast in the postseason. I believe he had three straight games, starting with the Super Bowl, Lee, with two receiving touchdowns, three games in a row, the last game of the year, last year, Super Bowl, and then the first two games this year. I mean, that's a hell of a streak for a tight end. He is Brady's go-to guy in the red zone. Now, Lee, they're still averaging 32.5 points. I mean, like you said, it's not Mayday around here. But going forward, you'd like to have Gronkowski down the stretch, December, January, Lee, and I think all bets are off with Gronkowski. The fact, Lee, that he's doubtful for Sunday off a bye week, that's a little problematic.
Yeah, I think Arians is really kicking himself in the derriere for letting Gronkowski play against the Saints. I really believe that. So he's having a little bit of buyer's remorse. And I heard that interview as well on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And Arians, it sounded to me like Arians said, unless Gronkfield's 100%, and he's not seeing the field. If that means he's got to sit out till Christmas, that means he's got to sit out till Christmas. He wants him 100% for the playoffs.
I think that's wise. Steve, I didn't think Gronk would be out this long. I really didn't. Steve, one more quick thing, and I want you guys to weigh in on this. We all read the tweet from JPP, and he started it by saying, you know, he's not a whiner, which he's not, and he has an incredible pain tolerance, no question about it, and he's an athletic freak, and he loves to play. Steve, I'm a little concerned. I mean, JPP's talking about his shoulder like this is something a little bit different. This is more serious, and he's playing okay. Not playing great. He's playing okay. But going forward, I'm a little worried about number 90.
Oh, he's got a major injury. It's a torn rotator cuff. That shows you think the guy's got some pain tolerance. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he may be in no pain on game day because they shoot him up. So I can't even give him that. But how effective is he going to be? And you just don't know. I mean, I believe, if I remember correct, no, it wasn't a rotator cuff, so scratch that. But yeah, it's concerning, Ira, because Bucks fans hope that there are 12 games left. That's what we're all hoping for, right? So
yeah.
You know, nine more plus a good, you know, the top seed and three games to the Super Bowl, but it could be 13 games left. I mean, 13 games, that's like a whole season, and he's you know, can't even practice. So it is a little concerning. I'll say it right now, Ira, hashtag free Joe Tryon. Let him go chase Taylor Heinicke all over the place. And let's see if he can improve to the point where, you know, he can be a force late in the season.
I'm with you, Steve. Lee, and this goes out to Sean Sullivan, our guru, the guy who said the Bucks should draft Joe Tryon, and they did. Lee, where's Joe Tryon? I mean, let's get him out there and save a little wear and tear on Jason Pierre-Paul.
My only guess, and this is just a guess, I haven't asked anyone, I'm guessing they don't trust Joe Tryon to stop the run like JPP can. And we know that's what Todd Bowles wants to do more than anything. Stop the run, stop the run. I get it. They want to turn a team into a one-dimensional team. I understand that. And I'm just, you know, adding things up here. What was Arian's biggest, I don't know if gripe is the right word, but concern with Tryon through training camp, through the first couple weeks of the season? He loved Tryon, but he said he had to be disciplined on the run gaps. So the fact that Anthony Nelson had more snaps than Joe Tryon against the Saints, and given the fact who they're playing, Kamara on the other side, that tells me that they don't trust Tryon to stop the run yet.
I understand that, but Steve, the flip side is that they're not playing Dalvin Cook on Sunday afternoon, Nick Chubb, or Derrick Henry. They're not, Steve. The Redskins do nothing well. I don't think they do anything well, including running the football. And most teams don't even try to run. And Steve, I would say if Joe Tryon's in the game, they ain't going to run it more than 20 times because nobody does.
Absolutely, Ira. And if anybody wants to run, they can run over to Bill Curry Ford or BillCurryFord.com. You'll probably get to the website a little faster unless you're right next door and start shopping immediately. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com, GM Sean Sullivan. He's an email or a phone call or a pop-in away from personal service and the world-famous Ira Kaufman discount. Sage, a question that Mr. Russo would have asked you if you did appear on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio yesterday, although he couldn't have because it happened today, but we'll pretend it's Thursday afternoon. Cam Newton now joining the Panthers, and he's rested. He knows the receivers, even though he doesn't know the offense. And obviously he's got chemistry, familiar with Christian McCaffrey, who's back. Is this a concern you? Will you have Cam Newton jumping into a season where ultimately he's extremely motivated to get a contract for next season anywhere, and the Bucs have two more games with him? Does this change your perspective on you know, week 16 and 18 and maybe the Bucs having a cakewalk with Carolina and Sam Darnold?
It could be a factor, Lee. They've got the Panthers twice right at the end of the season. The key is Cam Newton healthy? I mean, is he really healthy? He hasn't played well in 2-3 years. A lot of shoulder issues, a lot of other ailments. He certainly doesn't know Matt Rhule's offense all that well. So we shall see. With the Falcons and the Panthers, I think we're talking about potential wild card teams. I really don't see them giving the Bucs a run at the top of the NFC South. I don't see it. And by the way, Lee, and we've said it before, it's worth mentioning, hats off to Matt Ryan. They lose a bad game to Carolina the week before. Everybody's writing off the Falcons. Who the hell are the Falcons? And then they win another game. Matt Ryan's holding that whole team up. They don't have any running game. The defense isn't any good. No Julio Jones. Matt Ryan's a warrior. I've said it before. He's really gained a newfound respect for me. The Panthers are the Panthers. They're okay. They got a young defense. A year or two from now, that might be a pretty darn good defense. They were 3-0. They didn't play anybody. They came back to earth. I'm not overly worried about Cam Newton.
No, I think the Panthers have way too much ground to make up to make any kind of serious run in the division title. I mean, the Bucs would have to absolutely collapse. The Saints would have to collapse. I don't see them making a run. Now, could they trip up the Bucs once? They could do that. And I agree with you about Matt Ryan. You know, a lot of people, for reasons unknown, my guess is that he doesn't do enough for fantasy football types. I don't care about fantasy football. Two quarterbacks who I think are human pinatas. People beat these guys up constantly, and I'm not really sure why. They are not the reasons why their teams stink. One is Matt Ryan, and the other is Jimmy GQ. Now, Jimmy GQ could stay healthy. That would certainly help. But it's like you think Tua was quarterback in the 49ers. Their defense is horrible. It's collapsed. Oh, here's one for you. Talking about playing on the road, Ira. Do you know that the 49ers are in the throes of a Bucks 2010s-like 8-game losing streak at home?
Wow. Wow. Steve, along those lines, you know, last year, you give the Niners a pass. Terrible injuries. Terrible. Terrible luck. Defending NFC champions. Bad year. All right, you give them a mulligan. Steve, there's some words coming out of the Bay Area that John Lynch is not doing a very good job as a general manager. Another bad year for the Niners? Boy, I tell you, the mighty have fallen in the NFC. They don't even look to be a factor.
Yeah.
In a really rugged division over there, Steve. So, that coach and that GM, they're kind of under the microscope right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he hasn't done a good job. You just have to look at how far it's fallen off. Obviously, he got them there, but you know how it goes. The love affair can be very short-lived. They got a lot of ground to cover very quickly in San Francisco for him to not start to get looked at funny. You know, same thing with his head coach. Actually, Lee, I was reading the other day. I mean, I know Matt Ryan is at least a solid fantasy quarterback, but I was reading the other day. He's got 10 consecutive years of 4,000-plus yards, which might actually be a record. I don't remember the story too well, but yeah, he you know, definitely rings it up every single year, and that's the kind of wacky stat a guy like the Sage would use in the Hall of Fame room. Come on, guys, 4,000 yards, 10 years in a row.
Lee, he's incredibly durable, too. That's another factor. I'm wondering, coming out of the bye week, and I know what Todd Bowles says, gentlemen, about changing the role of Devin White, and we're asking him to do different things. And, you know, Lee always makes this point, and I don't really think it's arguable. You coach to a player's strengths, and, gentlemen, I'm not sure Bowles is doing that with Devin White right now.
I don't disagree. I do give Bowles the benefit of the doubt. Like I said, I asked him, are you having him do different things to kind of, you know, make up for all the injuries in the secondary? And he said, yeah, that's understandable. That is understandable. And for the most part, the Bucs have survived. They've survived that, and not too many teams do. So I give Bowles some credit. And, I'm sympathetic to that. If he is using Devin White, and who am I to disagree with him? I don't think Bowles is a con artist. If that's what's happening, I get it. You know, I would like to see, like everyone else, Devin White racking up you know, 15 tackles, getting a couple picks the game, or, you know, forcing turnovers like he did in the playoffs. But if he's being used differently, which may not be to his strength because they got to cover for injuries, I understand that. I get that.
Change, Steve, as they get some of these cornerbacks to return?
It's a great question, Ira. You would think that that's on Bowles' mind, but, you know, Bowles can't make the guy force a fumble. I mean, he's leading the Bucs in tackles. It's not Bowles' fault that he hasn't forced a fumble yet. He's had at least two golden opportunities to hit quarterbacks. He's missed them, sack quarterbacks. You know, he's got one tackle for loss, which if it was Kevin Minter starting instead of Devin White through eight games, you'd be like, hey, we need more from the guy. So, you know, he's just got to have more of an impact for the Bucs to sort of, recapture that magic that he brought last year for the playoffs. But frankly, Ira, if they cruise through and he lights it up in the playoffs, then, it's all good. But, you know, last year he had the benefit last year of 2 weeks off, but, you know, to get his legs back before the playoffs. So I don't, you know, hopefully he doesn't have that this year with COVID.
I get you. But in the spirit of this podcast, we point out the flaws as well as all the acclaim. Mm-hmm. Lee, to be fair, Devin White is part of the missed tackle brigade. He's a prominent part of it. And they're right there at the top of the league in missed tackles. Mm. And, Lee, that's not a category you want to be anywhere near mentioned.
Isn't that category also called Quan Alexander?
We used to get on Quan all the time, Lee. And, I mean, look at his career. I mean, it's been hampered by injuries for sure.
Yeah.
But, Lee, you know, he's just another guy right now. He's just another guy.
I knew Quan was pretty much done, and I like Quan. I love the passion and everything. I knew Quan was pretty much done when he played in the Super Bowl against the 49ers, and he got run over at the goal line by Patrick Mahomes. You let a quarterback run you over as a middle linebacker on the goal line, you're toast.
Sage, before we hit your final topic here that needs your wisdom, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's the first phone call if you have any disaster in your home, period. Mold, this is the time of year where a lot of times people are digging out things for the holidays, going into the attic and into this closet at the garage, and they find mold. You need a licensed mold remediation specialist. Immediately get that free assessment from Florida's Elite Restoration. You, Sage, will be at Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, Sunday, watching the Bucks game. Everybody can hang out with you there, indoors, outside on the covered, gorgeous, modern patio. But drink Big Storm beer because we realize most people can't get to Ira. So Bromosa, it's in Publix. Other varieties are in Publix. BigStormBrewery.com is where you can find where to locate Big Storm near you. Try a Bromosa. Send us the social media pictures at Joe Bucks Fan on Twitter, wherever. We'll share it. We love when people try the Bromosa. And thanks, as always, to Bill Curry Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan. He's ready to assist you. Whatever you want, you call him. You want to order a new Bronco, a 2022 Mustang, a 2022 Maverick, you call Sean Sullivan immediately or email him, BillCurryFord.com. He'll help you personally. Great service, great pricing. Sage, you started it off, the podcast, noting the offensive line and how healthy they are. And, Lee talked about this is a running week. You know, and I think this is really a game for the offensive line to dominate. Yeah, Washington's got a good defensive front, talented defensive front, but they're missing a guy. They've struggled all year. And you know what? This is the time to do it. You know, Brady would sit there and tell you, hey, November football after the bye, this is when you grind it out. It's supposed to be, you know, like 49 degrees at kickoff, maybe a little breeze in Washington. You know, this is their time, Ira, and you think these guys are up for it.
I think Lee's on to something about this particular matchup and the injuries. This could be a week where you see 30, 35 carries total. You know, not just for Leonard Fournette, but total. Maybe Vaughn gets a few. Maybe Bernard gets a few. Rojo. I mean, one guy's averaging 4.3. The other guy's averaging 4.4. I mean, we're not used to that around here. I mean, we're really not. And, you know, this is not the days of Doug Martin when he was averaging 3.1. I mean, things are different. I think Lee's on to something. This could be, I pointed out in my column that the Bucks run 33% of the time. Now, I understand this is a passing offense. They're number one in the league. You can't deny that. They are the number one passing offense in football. They're the number one scoring offense in football. You can't argue with those numbers. But they only run one third of the time, Steve. Weather, injuries, this could be a big, big week for the offensive line.
All right, Ira. Well, I'm gonna quote Anthony Becht. Just going backward, a little bit here. He had said, "Better reads and better angles. That's what he needs. The Bucks need from their inside linebackers, and that should be a key to the second half." So we'll see if that holds, and we'll see if that improves. Levante David told Buccaneers.com that he's not 100%, but he's on a plan to get there, whatever that means. I know you're on a plan to get back to 100%, Ira. We got a quick podcast now, and then we're coming back by Friday very quickly with a deeper look. And we also want to hear about that incident you had on the beach in St. Thomas, Ira. I can't wait to hear about it.
What was her name?